Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still loving you. I'm walking down
is 1984, the country Germany. It's October 25th when a man named Günther Stoll leaves his house. At 3 o'clock in the morning on October 26th, a grisly scene was found by two truckers on the Autobahn. There was a crashed Volkswagen, and inside was Günther Stoll. What happened to Günther Stoll? This is what we're going to try to figure out, and we're going to talk about tonight on Sunday Night Murder and Mayhem. I am JCA, and this is a team of voices. We want to thank Deb and everything she does. I want to thank AP for funding this, and just everybody who sits back and listens to this. We're going to be talking about one of the, it's probably considered the biggest mystery in German unsolved crimes in the history of their country. Believe it or not, this is quite an interesting case, to say the least. And I'm going to be presenting this in a way for you guys to listen, understand, and we will be presenting as much of the theories as possible. Because I have my own theories, but I'm really not sure how this is going to go or not. But let's set the scene. For weeks and weeks, an unemployed food engineer living in Germany by the name of Günther Stoll started talking to his wife. And the wording that he would give is that they were after him and he knew them and they were dangerous. But who were they? Who were these people that he was talking about? According to his wife, he was very paranoid. He looked around all the time, was worried about they and them, and often went into kind of almost a state of unrest, where he would, you know, what you would expect to see from a person who is paranoid, always looking over their shoulders and thinking someone is close to getting them. And this went up through October 25th, 1984, when he all of a sudden stood at a table. And he said something like, "Now I got it. Now I understand. Now I know what's going on." And according to his wife, he wrote down six characters that to this day, no one understands what they mean or whether they're even she mentioned. And let me go to the phone lines and welcome in. Hello.
How are you? Unmuted.
Hey, Hatter, what's going on, man?
Not much. I thought it was in an hour.
No. It was posted wrong on the thing. And you're crackling like crazy,
okay.
Brother.
Okay, let me call back.
Okay. Well, Hatter will get right back to us here shortly. And in the meantime, I want to thank once again everybody who's joining us. And we will be getting into the story of Günther Stoll and Yongxi here in a bit. A lot of people pronounce it Yongxi. But it's Y-O-G-T-Z-E, or is it Y-O-6-T-Z-E, or is it Y-O-6-T-2-E? There's a lot of people who mention this in interesting ways. But Hatter, that's better.
Is it better?
A lot better, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, what I started to do is I started to introduce everybody to, and now it's crackling again. I don't know what's going on with you there, Hatter. He'll be back. And what I might do is I might play with the mute button a little bit on Hatter when he comes back, but there's a lot of people who are not sure exactly whether the letters are Y-O-G-T-Z-E or Y-O-6-T-Z-E or Y-O-6-T-2-E. It is the main focus of the mystery. But I'll probably mute you better, and
okay.
That way we can work it that way. And I'll just unmute you.
It's pretty bad on my end. Yeah.
Is it pretty
bad on my end right now? Well,
oh, you
it's cleared up right now. So go ahead.
Yeah, just
go ahead.
All right. Well, what I'm let me see. I don't know if it's my phone or not. I'm putting them on mute just for a second. I'm going to bring you back off mute. You tell me if I'm breaking up. Yeah, he actually hung up. But Gunther Stahl was, like I said, a unemployed food engineer. His wife was calling him paranoid. And for the longest time, in October 25th, 1984, he finally said, "I've got it." And those are the six characters that he wrote down on a piece of paper, according to his wife. At 11 p.m., he went to his favorite pub in Wilmsdorf, Germany, and ordered a beer, but he didn't even have a chance to drink the beer as he collapsed to the floor face first, injuring his face. He didn't even take a drink. He was not drunk. The people there said he was distressed, said that he had this problem that was going on, and they weren't sure how he was feeling about this or what was going on with him. He then from there left the pub. And we'll try this one more time with Hatter.
How's that?
Sounds great.
Better.
Whatever
okay.
it is, don't change a thing. Okay. But I was
okay.
just explaining what about Gunther Stahl. He was a unemployed food engineer from Germany. His wife, prior to October 25th, 1984, said that he was very paranoid. He would often talk about they and them, and you know, bottom line is they were after him or he was worried about them and stuff like that. On the night of October 25th, he all of a sudden said the words, "Now I get it." And he wrote down six characters on a piece of paper. They're not sure if it was Y-O-G-T-Z-E or Y-O-6-T-Z-E or Y-O-6-T-2-E, but ultimately, it has turned into the puzzle of the whole mystery. Now, at 11 p.m. on October 25th, he went to his favorite pub in Wilmsdorf, Germany. He ordered a beer, but he didn't even get a chance to drink the beer because he collapsed face first onto the floor. Everybody there said, "Hey, he's not drunk." But he seemed distressed, like paranoid, even more paranoid, like someone was after him or something was really upsetting him. At that time, he went ahead and left the pub. He wasn't seen until 2 hours later. And 2 hours later, he visited an elderly woman from his childhood that was in his parents' neighborhood. He said that terrible things were about. She told him, bottom line, go home, go to your parents, just go ahead and relax. And so he followed her instructions and he left. And that was at 1 a.m. in the morning. At 3 a.m. on the Autobahn in Germany, two truckers looked and saw in a ditch a Volkswagen. It had been crumpled up, and it was seemed to have been in an accident. As they approached the van or the vehicle, they saw a young blonde man in a white jacket with a bloody arm walking away from the vehicle. And when they finally got to the vehicle, they found Gunther Stahl in the passenger seat of the vehicle. He was naked. He was covered in dirt and leaves. His left arm was nearly severed from his body, and the keys were to the car were on the dashboard, and his shoes were off right near his feet. He turned to them, and in his final words, he said, "There were four of them. They were not my friends. Now they have gone. I want to go too." And those were the last words that Gunther Stahl ever uttered as he ended up dying en route to the hospital. Now, on the autopsy, which was very interesting, they found out that he actually did not die in that car crash, but instead he was run over while he was naked prior to that car crash from a different car. And it was at a different location. So the accident itself was staged. There was also a hitchhiker that was seen close to the site at a different exit. And they don't know who the young blonde man in the white jacket or the hitchhiker were, as they've never figured that out before. And that's the basis right now for the mystery of where it started from. Now, what happened after that, there was time frames and that weren't covered within everything. What happened to him between 11 p.m. and 1 a.m.? What happened to him between 1 a.m. and 3 a.m.? It's all a mystery. This is where everybody looks at the clues, looks at what happened, and tries to figure it out. Have you ever heard of this case before, Hatter?
No, not at all.
This is actually considered Germany's most high-profile unsolved crime in German history, believe it or not. They put this right at the top of pretty much anything that has gone on in Germany because it is so odd and it's so unusual on what happened. The circumstances behind it, the clues that were left behind, his behavior, his words, everything that was put down in this scenario, it was so strange. The fact that he was killed prior to the car accident, he was put in the passenger side of the car, and he was not even the driver of the car. It just so many things are just a red light flashing, like what's going on, what's going on, what's going on. There's warning, stop, stop, stop. But there are several theories out there, and this is kind of what I'm going into, is going to go into the theories. And then if you have a theory yourself that you'd like to think, I have my own theory a little bit that, you know, because I question one person involved in this whole thing. So the whole thing comes down to, first of all, some people say he had a mental health crisis. Possibly he was involved in a hit and run. The people got scared, so they wanted to stage the accident and run away. It's a possibility, but it doesn't really explain why he was naked, unless he had some form of mental health issue and that, you know, he not only had a paranoid episode, but he also had an hallucination, which is a possibility. You know, that you can't say that that wasn't, but a lot of a lot would have to happen for that to be the case. And bottom line is, why don't you just, if this guy had a mental illness, why don't you just bring him to the hospital to try to save his life? Why are you staging an event and then leaving him to die? Plus, why are you risking the fact that, hey, you're leaving him, he's still alive, he can still talk, he could have ratted you out, you know, he could have survived the thing, So bottom line is, you know, there's a lot of questions that go in with that. And some say he injured himself. He staged a suicide. It's different things like that. But ultimately, there's still, okay, why is he naked? Why was the whole thing staged by other people? Who are those four other people that he mentions? Who was the blonde man in the white jacket? There's so many questions that surround this that everybody looks at one thing to try to solve this, and those are the six characters that he wrote down on that piece of paper. I'm going to take a little break from talking about it, and let's hop into one of the poems that we have here. And let's go with, I'll tell you what, let's go with, I'm up for a little bit, let's wait on that one. Deb said she's probably not going to make it back in time. Yeah, I'll start from the top. Let's go with Jenny the Deep. This may, like I said, I don't mind if poems are directly related to the topic or if it's just, you know, stuff to do with murder and mystery. That's great as well. So I'm going to read Jenny the Deep right here. This is called The Malicious Maniacal Stepdaughter. Goes like this. Blood and dust cover the family's apartment after his daughter found his secret gun compartment. Never took responsibility, never was respectful. She got kicked out for being maliciously disrespectful. Half asleep, she told stepmother to shut up as mom tried to wake younger sister up. Not remembering what was said, she fussed. Claiming the stepmom lied, she abruptly cussed. Not having that, the mom timidly reacts, proving again the stepchild speaks no facts. The girl then yells profanities at her dad, so she was told to go if continued to be bad. Uninvited, later that night, the older teen arrives with a cold-blooded, diabolical plan to end their lives. Manipulatively, time and time again, this 18-year-old has lied. No remorse with an AK-47. She chooses stepmom's life. Slowly, she pries open front door. On the couch, sees her bonus mom doing chores, sneaking behind with her dad's forbidden gun. Pulling the trigger, she punctures her stepmom's lung. Little sister and dad were safe at grandpapa's. Unbeknownst to them, bleeding out is mama. Instead of coming back home to a quiet bed, they come home dismayed to mom's severed head.
Boom. Jesus.
Oh my goodness, Jenny.
Yeah.
Oh, this is so good. That was just so good. It, you know, there's a lot of way that people think of things, do things nowadays that, you know, even if this was a true story, it could be believable. If it wasn't, it could be believable as well. This is a subplot for a movie, probably many of them, and it's so well put together. I really love the flow of it and the way she rhymes everything. So yeah, that was fun. What do you think about that, Ed?
Yeah, you're right. It could be a storyline of nonfiction for sure. You know, it's I don't know what the word I'm looking for, but it's like there's a couple other poets, but when they go dark, it's like, oh, whoa. It's like, where did you have to go to think of that, you know, when they write I'll go ahead. Wayne's one of them. Our friend Wayne. When he goes,
we'll get to him later tonight. So
okay. Yeah. Very good, Jenny.
Absolutely. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I'm going to go back to our topic of the night, and we'll take a look at a few of the theories. We're going to go to more. I'm going to kind of go back and forth a little bit, and then I'll give my theory and see what you think. First of all, the Y06TZE. There's some people that claim that this is a license plate, that he wrote down a license plate number, which kind of coincided with some of the European countries during that time period. But they have not found any leads that associate with that particular license plate. There are also some that have claimed that this license might be a license from German military, one of their vehicles, but that also hasn't provided any leads. So there are a lot of secrets behind that theory, some holes in it, but also I think it's more of a plausible thing. You know, bottom line is, this guy was a food engineer. So what does a food engineer do? He helps not only get the food processed, but he also works with the scientists to kind of take care of the food and try to figure out the nutrition of the food and bringing different food products to life. And there'll be some theories based off that. Might as well go into one of those theories right now, is that Y-O-G-T-Z-E is actually an anagram for the word zygote, Z-Y-G-O-T-E, which in itself is the early stages of organisms. Now, during that time period, there was a move towards genetically modified foods, foods that they pretty much created in labs that would change the makeup of those foods, makeup of the animals producing the foods, makeup of the seeds that create the fruit or the grains and everything like that. So some people believe that this was possibly him discovering a new genetic program that was either industrial ran or ran by the government, that people were not privy to, and they tried to discover. Ultimately, they wanted him silenced because he knew too much. And bottom line is, that sounds a lot like a movie plot too. That sounds like you have someone who is in that wrong place, wrong time sort of thing in a movie where they're targeting you all the time and they eventually catch you. And so bottom line, is this dealing with zygote? Is this dealing with the license plate numbers? Both of them are possible scenarios. They both have their flaws. They both have their positive parts. So it's very interesting how they come about these type of ideas. But everybody who tries to figure it out with these particular clues. Now I'm going to also add one more into this thing, And this one is really out there, but Y06TZE is actually a call sign for a Romanian radio station. So there is something that is identified by Y06TZE. Problem is, is there is absolutely no connection between the Romanian radio station and Gunther himself. So people, you know, they put this out here, but we're not quite sure. Hello to Titus, who is listening right now. I'm glad that he mentioned that. He said zygote makes up most of the mystery. And yes, that is a very good possibility as well. So we have several of these theories that go on. What do you think about them, Hatter? Anything cop out at you?
Yeah, it being that he had mental problems to begin with, and he was a paranoia, and his wife didn't think anything odd, too out of the norm, that he jumps up and says, "Now I get it," and runs out after scribbling down the phrase or the letters. Now, all the witnesses in the story, they were considered respectable, right? I mean, nobody that saw anything saw anybody else except for the four men, right? That he said was
no,
in the
they
car.
Didn't even see the four men. He mentioned the four
right,
men.
Yeah.
They saw the blonde-haired man, and there was also a sighting of a hitchhiker.
Sounds like missing time. Sounds like the what's his name from the alien abduction. but to jump up and say that he got it. I'm running out of the house. That feeds into the theory of he knew something was amiss. Like you said, there were a food additive type of a problem. I wish I knew a little more about that when they mentioned that he had found some secret or he had came across some wrongdoing by somebody that would want him killed, because he just seems like an insignificant person to worry about. Even if he knew he had a history of paranoia, it'd be hard to believe anything he said anyway, rather than put a hit on him and kill him. I mean, yeah, it is a too many loose ends. I don't know.
Yeah, it, so far it's giving more questions, I think, than answers. And a lot of this further, I think, we'll do the same. So since Titus is out on the board, I'm going to go ahead. He's got a poem that I'm going to read. It's called Moros Alphonse Scrivano. And this is a mafioso who's, let me see, I'm going to read a little bit of the AN. The mafia was thrown into opposition to the fascists in Italy by Mussolini's appointment of Cesare Mori to completely destroy the mafia in Italy. Mori had thousands of people rounded up and arrested, including family members, suspects, and people who had committed small offenses like failing to pay their property tax. So this is great. I'm kind of excited about this one. So Moros Alphonse Scrivano. My name is Moros Alphonse Scrivano. An Italian by birth, but now a Yank. I'm just about to rob another bank, caught between a dare and some bravado. And do these easy pickings give a buzz to illustrate what fear can rectify? One moment can inflict a do or die. Nothing's better than what killing does. wilt's lurking in this vicinity of shame. I wallow from the shadow of control, and every twilight saw of police patrol inspire me to believe that this was fame. Well, Tito was before I checked him out, an alias that camouflages well within the underworld from one farewell, another one for real could do without. I've haggled over one response to death. When murders need to be, I have been there. The freedom to believe I really care. Garotti's the bastard one despairing breath. Comes a point when torture is performed and outside looking in sees death, its blight. Them looking in the mirror so deformed prefer to pay their dues than take a hike. Now dreams are made of this, that loyalty become a family trait in just one voice and one that only godfathers give choice, selecting those who pride in sanity. The cleverness is needed for the climb to gods which further ventured them insane. The credibility that I retain is bribery can always deal with crime. Poem.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love this. I love this. Me being half Italian, you know, I can really grab a hold of this history and grab a hold of what he wrote here. I think it's just a brilliant little collection of this mafioso feel. I really like this. This is just stinking outstanding, and the way it's put together, and it's kind of like a classic storytelling. Bottom line is like, hey, you know, this is what's going on, and this is the way we're going to do it, whether you like it or not. Boom. There you go. All right. I got someone on the line here. Who's on the line here? Hey.
Oh, that would be your late sweet pea, because for some strange reason, I think this thing is on at 10:30. And one of these days, I might get it right.
No problem. No problem. It was. There was actually an error put down on the board, so it's okay. It's 10:30. It's 9:30 Eastern. That way, it can end before midnight. That's why we do that.
Uh-huh.
We're not gonna let the carriage turn into a pumpkin, okay?
That's the best way to do it.
Exactly. Oh, but Titus, beautiful man. Looking at the copy of the word, there's a subscription to another formula. Cool. Oh, really? Ooh. Excited to hear about that. Hatter, what did you think of Titus's poem?
Yeah, that's the first time I had heard Mussolini taking over the mafia, the families. That's the first time I'd ever heard that angle. I didn't know that.
It's news to me too. So I'm like, I love that we learned a bit of history here as well, and I love the way you put it together. Go ahead.
No, that's like I said, I hadn't heard that angle before. That probably gets into the Sicilian part of it on the island, being that you're not, if you, and I'm trying to remember that if you're Sicilian, you have to be Sicilian to be in the circle of families or something in the mafia, I believe. You couldn't just be Italian. You had to be from island of maybe I'm wrong.
No, I don't think you are. What's interesting about it is, I can tell you the story based off of my family. It's a story that my mom told when the German troops came in and sided with Mussolini and everything like that. They took many, many people hostage, and they wanted to really take a look at those that looked Italian and imprison them and everything like that. So when they came about to my family in Italy, they left them alone because they looked very Austrian. And because of their look alone, they were left alone. It was a very interesting time within that area. Sweepy, did you get to hear Titus's poem?
I did not.
Okay. I went ahead and read it. So I'm going to go a little bit more into Yogtze, Yogtze. We've been discussing kind of the theories here behind it to just do a little bit of a summary. This gentleman, Günther Stoll, was considered to be a little bit paranoid. He sat up one night and said, "Now I got it." He wrote down the characters Yogtze on a piece of paper. He traveled around after 11 p.m., and at 3 a.m. they found his car and his body his car along with his injured self nearly dead along the Autobahn, naked and in the passenger seat. And everybody has been trying from this day to figure out what the heck's going on. So what we have figured out is that it could have been a mental health crisis. It could have been, which is very hard to justify. Also, a potentially staged suicide, which is another thing that's hard to justify. There could be a license plate. Nothing's come about that theory, but that's a possibility as well. There was a call sign for a Romanian radio station, and also the possible anagram for the word zygote, which is the early stages of an organism, since he was working as a food engineer, and the fact that there was a growing interest in genetically modified foods at the time. People think he saw something wrong, and they wanted to silence him because of what he saw. So I'm going to go into a couple more theories here. Now, they say that these are two more possible theories, and we'll get to reading another poem after this. One of them is another food engineer thing. People think that the Y-O-G part of it stands for yogurt, and the T-Z-E is a type of artificial flavoring. Now, this might be a case of industrial espionage, where somebody thought they were doing trade secrets here and there and wanted to get involved once again in shutting him up. There is a possibility of that. It hasn't been proved, but it is in a lot of people's minds. And then the last one that I'm going to talk about is if you actually turn the letters into numbers, it comes up with a geographical location. But once again, this is another thing that has gone down a rabbit hole. No one's found out what relations he would have with that geographical location. I noticed that Titus, he said, looking at the copy of the word, there is a subscript which denotes a formula. And that's pretty interesting. I'd like to get to know that one a little bit more. But so in Hatter, with everything that I have mentioned as possible theories, in your mind, is anything clicking?
I don't buy the government acing them. I think the timeline, being this all happened in one night, right?
Yeah, it pretty much. But you also got to say that the wife saying that he had all of this time saying they and them and everything like that, you can put it weeks prior, as a matter of fact. The actual movement of him, with him going to the pub, falling down and collapsing, and people saying he wasn't drunk but distressed, he injured his face during that time. He traveled. No one knows what happened between him between 11 p.m. and 1 a.m., ends up at his childhood neighbor's house talking to her for a while before he left there, and then his car was found at 3 a.m. No one knows what happened in those lost times.
Now, you said the coroner said that the injuries were not of a vehicle accident, but of a beating?
No, the coroner said that the injuries were because he was run over by a car, and it wasn't
okay.
His car that he was run over by.
Well,
and he was run over when he was naked.
Now that sounds like a mental health thing. We know when he wrote the letters down, did he take that note with him or did he leave it with his wife?
He left it with his wife. He left it there. I'll explain that here in a little bit as well. Because there's more to go into that as well. Sweet Pea, with everything that you kind of heard, can you kind of pick up where we're at with this?
Oh, yeah. I have a poem for this particular thing, what you're talking, really. So when you're done talking, we'll read my poem.
Okay, yeah, you can put it out there. What do you think, out of all these theories, which do you think grabs a hold of you the most?
My poem will explain it.
Well, why don't you go ahead and throw that down, and we'll go ahead and listen.
Okay. Can you give me a minute? I'm kind of transferring things, putting dogs to bed. So if you want to talk for like another 5 minutes, that would be great.
How about I'll read someone else's poem in the meantime, and then you Why don't we grab a hold and listen to a little Wayne while you're putting everybody to bed, huh? All right. So we're going to put Wayne's poem in here, and we're going to listen to the wonderful golden voice of Wayne Gent. Here we go.
This is called The Y-O-G-T-E-Z Mystery Solved by Wayne Gent. Colonel Stroh was a food technician, but he always wanted to be a musician. He worked at a cheese factory. His boss said his work was unsatisfactory. Connor had been studying additives. A friend of his dad, and so did his relatives. Connor had given his friend a cheese crate. The cheese his dead friend and relatives ate. The company, the cheese place, had some additives it was to replace. Connor found the reaction was poisonously bad. He told management and they got mad. That's when they fired Gunnar Stroh. But it was too late. Cheese had taken its toll. Gunnar was the only one that would know. He decided to get a whistle and blow. His ex-boss always wore a red jacket. And it was he that was running the racket. The guy's name was Von Vanderville. He said Gunnar he would kill. John, Von's brother, worked at the pub. Gunner would go there for drinks and grub. Johnny's the one who hit Gunner in the head. To John's dismay, Gunner wasn't dead. So he kidnapped Gunner and took him to the shop. They tortured Gunner and would not stop. Finally, smashed him with a block of cheese, a cheese block. By that time, it was already 12 o'clock. He was about dead in the plot they chose. Gunner had cheese on him. They took off his clothes. They tried to get Gunner to drive, but he wrecked. He was about dead. What did they expect? Then Vaughn, wearing a red jacket, drove the car. He ditched the car on the highway not too far. As John was leaving, the truck driver saw him. John got away, but his escape was slim. Before Gunner died, he wrote a clue down. He didn't want John to be the one that found. Gunner wrote YOGTZE as a clue, but no one could figure it out. Nothing they could do. The YOGTZE, when he completed, said, "Your goat cheese." He thought it was something the police could solve with ease. Ian?
That's it.
Oh, I loved it. I loved that, Wayne. Wayne, you're the greatest. Oh, my gosh. I got him with a block of cheese. Oh, my God. I love it. I love it, love it, love it. He just kills me. He kills me on these, you know, the way he brings them forth. And he's so serious about it. He just does not break character, which is just amazing. Oh, my gosh, that was so great. I loved it. Hatter, what did you think?
Like I said, Wade's got a great sense of humor. I was thinking of something also, the letters that he wrote down. I think you'd need to know the German language to be able to decipher it if his intent was to use initials or something. I think we as Americans are looking at it, you know, there's no way we could figure that out because he spoke German. I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe the government was switching to goat cheese. And
oh, hey, sweet. Did you get to hear that wonderful little tale from our dear Wayne?
This is freaking fabulous and so Wayne-y. I absolutely love this. You know, there's rat poison in the cheese and everybody's gone crazy. He just makes everything so funny. And I love that he wrote this as a clue, but no one can figure it out, nothing they could do. And now we're all eating, you know, bad cheese, and we just don't know it because this is what cheese now has tasted like. And we're all just eating it away, and we're like, yummy, cheesy. And we shouldn't be eating it, and we have to figure out this mystery to basically find out we're all eating rotten cheese because some of that cheese does smell really, really bad, and maybe he just died trying to warn us. I think Wayne's brilliant.
Like Soylent Green?
Yeah.
It's the cheese. All right. Well,
Wayne's a rat favorite dude.
What's that?
It is a rat's favorite food, so maybe that should tell us humans something.
No kidding. I have switched over to goat cheese myself. So it's very different type of cheese, but I enjoy it, and it's helping me get healthier, which is the most important part. Right. Well, sweet, I want you to go ahead and why don't you grab your – you got your poem out there on the board. Why don't you go ahead and read it for us, and I see where you're going with this.
Yes. So this is GMO Hero. Do you believe in ghosts, the evil kind, the teasing kind, the ones that make you scream in the dark sometimes, devils that make angels cry, demons who walk below the moral line, cross your fingers, close your eyes, say your prayers, it's suicide. Four men toe the line, run for your life. No one believes your lies. Tire marks on your hide, told a secret, they won't lose their dimes. Money, money hides the crime. Humans eat the dirt and grime. 1, 2, 3, clock's ticking time. Poison in your bloodlines. dead man walking, Big Brother watching, chemicals in time. We all now, oh, I missed the word, eat GMO. He died a hero, but the world has yet to know. End poem.
Like where did you pull
like that?
What's that?
I didn't see it posted. I wasn't able to grab it.
Oh.
Yeah, it's there. Did you refresh?
Yeah, I did. Let me do it again. I did it three times.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's there. It's there. I see it perfectly. It's right under my the poem I put for Wayne. So.
Okay. Wow. So it was all about the cheese.
It was all about the GMOs. She's genetic modifications. So you're going with the zygote theory there.
Absolutely.
Which is a very good theory. Absolutely. And it is a very probable possibility. I want to say it's very possible that he did see the wrong things while he was working as a food engineer, and it cost him his life because people did not want him going out and explaining this. And
it is a multi-billion-dollar industry.
I know.
And Roundup now owns every. I mean, corn. The corn seed in America is not labeled as corn, it is labeled as a pesticide.
What? That's fascinating because I've cut down on grains and the grain oils. I know that. I know the oil is definitely not good for you, but is a personal thing because it's the bottom line. It's a government to corporation thing. So ultimately, there is possibility with that license, being it zygote, being there's a military license plate, being that's government, there could be a possibility there because of all of that money, many, many, money that's in there, which kind of is the root cause of many of these things, and this is well put together, and it is definitely a possibility. Hatter.
Yeah, a great poem, ZP.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's it. That's a, you know, he would have to. Old Gunther would have to have a. We would need to know if he was a. Did he have a history of. Somebody that goes up against the government. I mean, if you had a history of that, but we were talking about a guy that had some mental problems, and in one night he ends up being run over by a car and dies after screaming some things that we didn't understand. I can see where the confusion and the mystery comes in, but I don't by the conspiracy of the government, unless we had knew there was a history of that, you know. I mean, was he so high up in the chemical additives in the food industry that he would know this stuff? I mean, that's highly protected.
Well, he was a food engineer. That was his profession.
What does that mean?
He was one person who engineered the food.
That could be a worker at McDonald's too.
No, he actually worked in a dairy plant, from what I understand.
He worked
in a dairy area. But ultimately, we're going to go ahead and I'm going to put Deb's poem out here because she goes more into the paranoia side of the house, and then I'm going to give my last bit of information before I read my poem because I think this is a lot of stuff that has been overlooked by many people. But let me go ahead and read Deb's poem. This is called Paranoia. fueled Gunther Stahl's blood. And it is in a vignette. It goes like this. At his job engineering food to fill Fat Cat billfolds with cash, did he sound the alarm bells, threatening money they stash? They pink-slipped him. What did he see? Techniques that kill people by poisoning from cancer? Two. Wrapped in paranoia, trapped in his head, fearing them. They're out to get me, he said. At the corner pub, he drank a beer, and on a sheet of paper, he scribbled YOGTZE. Then he fell, smashing his face in the fall. He stood up and drove off in his car, talking about a horrible incident. Three, discovered in a roadside trench by a trucker, stuffed into his vehicle's passenger seat, naked with flesh, wearing rubber tread, but not from his car tires. Four men darted from this wreckage spot. Did they silence him first? Was it them? Was one guy a highway hitchhiker? On the race to the hospital, he died. Are those letters from a license plate, a safety deposit box, floppy disk, printer cartridge, an address zip code? Is the O a zero? The G a six? Leaving a list of questions, but no answers. Poem. I love how she just put everything into there. It just made you think, and tried to bring you, you know, all over the place. I love how it starts with the, like what Sweet Pea said, GMO, and then falls into the different categories of what it could be. Are we really seeing that? Are we really seeing this? What are we looking at? And I think that is well played, Deb. I really like how that was put together. Let me see. Who's two? Oh, that's Wayne, isn't it? Let me see. I think that's Wayne. Wayne, is that you?
That was me.
Yeah. You know what? We did play your SoundCloud, and we loved it, man. You are the most insane person in the world. Yes, but I loved it, man.
I thought you were going to start at 10:30.
No, I sent you a message. Started at 9:30.
Oh, I didn't get the message. I've been busy. But it's on, okay. On the thing that said 9, it said 10:30.
I'll play it again here. I could play it again in a little bit. We got time.
I've heard it.
We loved it. You're a rock star, man.
How'd you like it? Is that a good theory?
Oh, you're a rock star. You're a rock star, man. I loved it.
Cool.
This is great. It was great.
Cool beans.
Hatter, what'd you think of Deb's poem?
That could be it too. The letters he wrote down, he already had before any of the incidents at the bar or being found naked after being hit by a car. So I think the license plate thing is out, because he already had it before the incident. What you posted, is that the actual note he had?
That's Titus put that out there. No, that is not the actual note. That is how the note was described.
Yeah, because the Y could be a V. You have to see the original note to draw any conclusion that would have any substance behind it. I think he got hit on the street, on the road, and four guys put him back in his car and took off thinking he was dead.
Hmm. I don't know why they would stage it or why he was naked. That's a big question. Why was he naked and why did they stage it?
Well, sometimes when you get hit by a car, it'll tear your clothes off. I don't know.
He was naked when he got hit. That's what they said. That's what the coroner found.
Yeah, okay.
There's a lot of questions there. Sweet, what about you?
Well, see, she has the theory, too, that he saw something. And I like her theory where it says, what did she see? Was there poison? Because my theory was, too, that they poisoned him before he even got to the bar. So that poison, like him waking up, that they had somehow poisoned him or somehow done something, which is why he was having the weird dreams, which is why throughout the week his wife was saying he was acting weird and he was having problems and all of this. So I think this was a slow, don't say anything, don't do anything, which is why his paranoia was ramping up. Why? Because this wasn't just one night. Everybody wants to say, well, this was just one night. But it wasn't. It was like a period of some time where they started saying he's getting a little weird, he's got mental illness, he's got this, he's got that. It wasn't like a history of his life. It was like this period that they started saying he's got this going on, he's got this, he's starting to get paranoia, he's starting to fear them. So if you look at the whole instance, it wasn't that he had a long history of mental illness or paranoia. He hadn't grown up that way. He hadn't been that way. It had started and it had built and it had built and it had built. And then this one night when he was murdered, and nobody had believed him because they had heard these rumors of his mental illness and his paranoia. And he walked in that bar and he wasn't drunk. He wasn't, he just collapsed and all of that. So I think that this they, them or whatever had been doing this over a period of time, whether they were poisoning him or threatening him or, you know, they had whatever driving him crazy. I agree that he had seen something he shouldn't have seen. And we all know I'm TMO crazy, but I think they had poisoned him somehow. And they did beat the crap out of him. They tried to run him over. I think they had thought they had killed him. Because you have witnesses saying they saw four men at this, they had seen four men around him by his car.
I'll clarify that. He said there were four of them, but witnesses only saw one.
Okay, well, he might have been seeing double or quadruple. God only knows.
No, I think that's right. I think Sweet's right. Like I said before, there had to be some kind of history before, and that is a government way of dealing with it, is to poison you with heavy metals and stuff. They've done it before. 1984, there was still didn't have ways of testing for chemicals in your system. So I wonder if they've ever dug him back up and did a proper test of his system. Was he being poisoned? It'd be easy to, from his hair and his fingernails, and they'd be able to tell a long-term
poisoning.
That's
a great question. Wayne, you got anything to add to this? Did you get to hear Deb's poem?
I think it had something to do with that woman that he went to see that night. I think it had something to do with that woman. She's involved somewhere or another, I think. Because he went, what are you going to say, woman he didn't know for this? His childhood.
Oh, you talking about his childhood, the childhood lady that he went to visit?
Yeah, why did he go visit her for that night? That was kind of weird to go see somebody. He didn't see for a long time.
No one is sure. No one is sure why, but it was a childhood. He knew her when he was a child. That's it.
Well, like the Mad Hatter, the mercury poison over a time, you could almost not take anything he said that night as being anything other than hysteria or paranoia, seeing things. I think Sweet Pea's got it. I think Sweet Pea's got it.
I've been saving a little bit of information from everybody. Of course I do this all the time, right? You know, but there were there were two things that really stepped out on this, but no one has ever mentioned this. But they jumped out at me like crazy, and I'm like, why hasn't anybody talked about this? So, first of all, the note itself was thrown in the garbage. There is no note. It doesn't exist right now. The only person who saw this note was his wife. And she's the one that described it to the authorities. So no one else saw that note. Just
her.
Now, here's another thing. When all the neighbors were interviewed by the police, they said he was a normal person. Nothing was going on with him. The only person that mentioned he was paranoid was his wife.
The wife killed him.
Bitch.
Here's my question. Is the wife involved in this whole thing in some way? Is she sending people on rabbit holes with this YOGTZE? Did she hire some people to take care of this to make it look so spectacular that people would be questioning this for years to come? Or maybe was she working with the people that wanted him gone? Was there something more?
How much life insurance did he have?
What's that? That's a great question. I don't know. I don't know what they had in there in Germany. But no one ever mentions anything about the wife. Except when I looked at this, when I looked at everything that was said, all the information that was put forward, this suddenly, these two facts just popped into my head. I'm like, why hasn't anybody said anything about this? Sweet, you love to blame women.
I do, don't I? But the point is, then why did they say the it was written at the bar?
It wasn't written at the bar. It wasn't. It was written at the house before he went to the bar.
Okay, because everything I've read, the note was written at the bar.
No. The wife said he stood up all of a sudden. He said the phrase, "Now I got it. Now I got it." And then he wrote down those six letters on a piece of paper. Then he crumpled it up and threw it in the garbage can. That's
then
all
he
said.
Left.
Then he
did it.
Okay.
He did it.
Right, so that was my confusion. I thought he wrote it at the bar, stood up, and fell down and hurt his face.
He went to the bar at 11 o'clock, ordered a beer, and then collapsed. And everybody at the bar said he was not drunk, but he was distressed.
John did
it. I'm telling you, somebody poisoned him. That's my whole thing. I really believe that he had been poisoned because the fact no, but it had this whole paranoia craziness had started like several weeks or months prior to this happening.
Who was the person? There was only one person that said he was paranoid. Just one.
Right, you're right. I did put that together, but it was his wife. So it was either her lover or something, and probably had nothing to do with the food industry at all.
And that's what's driving me crazy is no one ever looked at that possibility. And I'm like I said, I'm putting my own theory out there. And, you know, my theory might be wrong, completely wrong as well. But I think it's worth looking into. It's worth something that could be added to the whole discussion.
Interesting. That's very interesting.
I agree. It's very interesting, too, because, like I said, I watched the whole videos, and those two things always popped out in my head is, okay, why is she the only person that ever saw that note? And how do we know that note even existed? And then why is she the only person that says he was paranoid? She, remember, she's the one that said they and them. He always talked about they and them. She's the one that said that.
Yeah, but if she's involved, why would she even say there was a note if it was a piece of evidence?
Well, how are you going to... She threw away the note. She gave an excuse why she had to throw it, you know, why she threw away the note. You know, she didn't think of anything at the time. She didn't think of it was anything at the time. That's what she said, okay? How are you going to send the police or send investigators on a rabbit hole but giving them a piece of information that doesn't exist? Just saying. It's more of a theory than anything else. Wayne, what do you think about that theory?
I think she's probably sleeping with the police captain, and they got together and made wild stories, and so we'd be suspected of it. No,
I love how you do that. I love how you do that. Just go straight at it, Wayne. That's awesome. Well, I'm going to finish up with my poem here, and then we'll get some final comments and see what everybody thinks. But my poem's called YOGTZE. And it goes like this. Stole, shroud in leaves and frosted soil, in the passenger seat of his Volkswagen. Chalky skin flits the night, death knell creeps the fore, left arm seeping off body. YOGTZE or YO6TZE. In the October German night, stole your breath and the world knows not. Poem.
Well, JCA, you do have a way of making things short and sweet and to the point. I don't know how you do it, but you have the ability to do it. I don't know, again. First off, I love the imagery, shroud in leaves and frosted soil in the passenger street of his Volkswagen. Chalky skin flits the night. You make this as scary as hell, and I love how you play with your words, stole your breath, stalled, because in my head it's, you know, he stole your breath, but you're talking about the gentleman, and the world knows not. So I like your play on words there. And we don't know. But somebody knows, or somebody did know. So I find it brilliant. Left arm seeping off your body was pretty creepy too. So all around, you got it all in. The mystery, the gore, the metaphor, the imagery. Fabulous poem, FYI. So, and you were going to say what?
If you take those letters, and put them upside down, it's actually 32190, and then the upside down Y, or V, or A. It could be 321. 90. If she saw the note and said backwards, I don't know. I think
that's
where it's
at.
321 90. Huh.
Maybe it's Jenny's real phone number.
Yeah, you know. Or what are the license plates made up back then? Government in Germany in 84. With all numbers,
they were very similar to the military. They had the letters and numbers. So it was very similar to a military vehicle at the time.
That is right. Wayne, what did you think of JCA's poem?
I think it's a great poem. Put more suspicious in me about what's going on. I think it has something to him not having no clothes on. Well, it takes a lot of trouble to take somebody's clothes off of them. So there's some reason they took this. He didn't have no clothes on. That, I think it's the key to it all. Nobody takes no man's clothes off. It's too cumbersome to pull the pants off, the shirt and all that. There was dead with a body. I don't think it. I think it has something to do with the clothes. You know what happened. I'm not, just to me. There's no way to take a man's clothes off. You know, to take clothes off.
Yeah.
But the point is a great point.
Yeah. And like I said,
not having clothes on don't make no sense. I seen him get run over. Somebody put him back in the car, but they wouldn't take his clothes off. That made no sense.
Yeah, you're right there. You're right there, Wayne. There's a lot of stuff within this mystery. That's why this is considered Germany's number one unsolved mystery of all time. This one right here, for how long Germany's been around, this one right here has stumped people to death. They really don't have a clue what's going on here. And because of the way it's shrouded within the mystery, the clues and the questions, I think really gives it its own life, its own kind of being, to where people have grabbed a hold of it and they turned it into something that is almost untouchable. This is, you know, where when we went through Jack the Ripper, we went through all those possible scenarios. And just like that, this one has questions after questions after questions. It doesn't have answers after answers. Everybody wants to give an answer. But I think within those answers that they're asking more questions than themselves. And I think that that is the perfect of mystery. Especially for the show that we do here. I want to bring people into a different realm. I want to just introduce people into different things they maybe have never heard of. And I hope you guys really enjoyed this one. I'm going to let everybody make some final comments now. Would you like to add anything?
No, you know, I love mysteries. I think this one has got so many angles and so many possibilities. And I really like your wife theory, by the way. I wouldn't have even gone there until you pointed it out. You know, from the whole governmental is out to get you, the food industry is out to get you, the, you know, Big Brother is watching. You know, you talk about conspiracies diving into this. This is just like one of those special ones that conspiracy theories, every field can get into it. So it's got that flavor to it, which is really cool. And like you said, there's so many angles, so this is really a cool one. I just love this. The only thing I didn't hear tonight was aliens. So I'm sure somebody's out there's got one of those too, that he was picked up by aliens and dropped back into his car. So I think this was a great topic.
Appreciate that. Hatter, you want to make any last comments?
Yeah, I'm going to look up. I put in the I Googled the 32190V, and the company called Vertex, there are parts that they make for different things with those numbers on it. Anything from computer systems to Jeeps to other things. So if you look at that, 32190 is a legitimate freaking part number. That's interesting. I think Sweet Pea's got it down. Good job, Sweets.
You're welcome.
And Wayne, do you want to give any last comments?
Well, everything I've known the last 70 years of my life, it has to do something to do with a woman.
Oh, that's great. All right, anybody want to plug any upcoming shows going on?
Tomorrow we have Deb's show. I believe The Color is Yellow in her color series. And Tuesday is Skies continuing her series in the Middle Earth creation world. And Wednesday, I think that's another Sky show. And Thursday I am doing Open Dark. I think we're going to focus on, it's Open Dark, but I think I'm focusing on witches this week. But you can write anything you want, Open Dark.
Excellent. Excellent, excellent, excellent. All right. With that, why don't we, let me see. I'm leaning towards something for next show. Okay, this will be the first Sunday of next month, which will be what day? It will be May 4th. It'll be, oh boy, Star Wars Day, huh? All right, Star Wars Day is, oh no, it'll be May 5th, Cinco de Mayo. We're going to have a show on Cinco de Mayo. So with that, I think I know what I'm going to do. They're one of the biggest mysteries in the history of Spain. Or should we do? I'm going to do something Cinco de Mayo related. I'll figure it out here in a little bit. But we will definitely put something together for you guys. And
I'm going to throw her out. Ingrid S. Camellia.
What's this one? Ingrid Escamilla.
It's Escamilla. Escamilla.
Yeah, I'm looking at that one. She was murdered by her boyfriend. This is the one you're talking about?
Yeah. Well, she wasn't just murdered. He was quite awful.
Yeah, I will check that out, and maybe we'll grab a hold of that one. I'm going to, like I said, I'll take a look at a few of them and see where we go from that. In the meantime, thank you, everybody, for joining us tonight on Sunday Night Murder and Mayhem. This has been a Team of Voices show, and I've been JCA with Sweepy. Thank you, Hatter and Wayne. And with that, we will say good night. You guys are awesome.
Night, Jay. Good night, Hatter. Good night, Wayne.
Good night. Good night.